Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Marketplace is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
A couple of months ago, we did the live show from Commerce, California, all about small businesses and a slow economy. Well, we're out in Commerce again today, but this time, we're going shopping. It's retail on the broadcast this Friday from American Public Media. This is Marketplace.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
Live from the Citadel Shopping Outlets in Commerce, California, I'm Kai Rizdahl. This is the Marketplace Podcast for Friday, the 16th of December, which means only 8 shopping days left, gang, and which is kind of why we're here. What can only be described as the prototypical white-hot center of American holiday retail. A shopping mall. 50-foot Christmas tree. About all that's missing is the saccharine holiday music. The stereo broke, they told us. But shoppers are bustling about with their bags. Guests and Coach and Gymboree and Tommy Hilfiger. You know the drill, because this is what we do this time of year. We buy. But we're 4 long years into a really bad economy. An economy that we've all been told, I can't tell you how many times, depends on consumers. So we've come down to Commerce, 20 minutes or so from downtown LA, to explore the way we shop and the way businesses sell. I was here after work a couple of days ago just to get the feel of the place, of the discounts and the deals to be had. And after I looked around for a while, I started asking shoppers how much of a bargain is actually a bargain. Man, they got everything here. Donna Karan, Tommy Hilfiger, Guess by Marciano. I don't even know what that is. Is that like Guess jeans, like Anna Nicole Smith Guess jeans? So, no, I'm not the shopping type, but I know a sale when I see one. Entire store up to 50% off today. Entire store. There's a sale over at MK, whatever that is. Oh, Michael Kors, of course. Denim tops at PacSun. Buy one, get one free. Winter clearance, an extra 70% off. Everybody here is having a sale. This is nuts. Hi, Rosa, how are you? Rosa Garcia had a whole handful of big shopping bags.
Well, I got this
here,
jacket.
I'll hold this one.
For me.
Yeah.
It's like a leather jacket.
Yeah.
$40.
All right. Now, what's in this one, the yellow one? Show me.
Let's see. I got like a lot of scarves for like gifts.
Now you're buying gifts, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd you do price-wise?
Pretty good. These were buy one, get one half off.
Do you go looking for bargains? Will you buy without a bargain?
Oh, no.
Want to wander back to the center of town there, Millicent? Okay. Old Navy, cozy wear, $15. Vans out. Let's buy one, get one half off. As I made my way back to the center of the plaza, producer in tow, we bumped into Claudia Flores. So who are you shopping for?
I am shopping for my family's kids. I'm on a budget, so...
Well, that's
the
good.
The rule is the kids get stuff, but
so,
they don't.
So talk to me for a minute about the things you bought. Can we just plow through your bags just
really
sure.
quickly?
Here's Let's what
see.
I want to know.
I well, got
put,
a
we're
pair
going through all of them, so put them down.
Of 2 pairs of Converse shoes.
Yep, and it, let's see. It's suggested retail $37. Suggested retail price $37. Actual price $19.97.
Yeah, so that's and like, that's buy like one, get one half off. So one of those was only $9.
So let me ask you this. What does it mean to you when something's on sale? I mean, you see these, you literally can't see a store here that doesn't have a sale sign in it. What does that mean?
Right. It means, I don't know. I don't know what it means. I guess it, you know, they want people to come into their store and shop. So the better the bargain, the more people that are going to get in their store.
You bet they do. And sure, the Citadel is an outlet mall where discounts are by design. But outlet or not, there are sales in every mall you go to nowadays. Riddle me this, though. How can it be that so many stores can afford to offer such deep discounts? Marketplace's Jennifer Collins picks up our theme of the day, how we shop and how businesses sell.
Harry Friedman is a retail consultant in Southern California. He's been in the business for more than 40 years. I asked him to go shopping with me at a local Macy's on a recent Monday afternoon.
There's virtually nothing here that's not on sale.
We're in one of the most profitable sections of the store, accessories. I'm looking at a table of cashmere scarves, plain, plaid, leopard print. The price tag says $88, but that's the pretend price.
25 off. Everything is on sale. So, like, we quit 20 years ago retailing.
By that, Friedman means stores used to sell products, a winter coat, a silk blouse. Today, they're selling price, 30% off, 50% off. And that has turned retail into a sophisticated numbers game.
The original markup, right, is much higher, which accommodates bigger discounts. That's what has changed the most.
Allison Levy is a former buyer for Bloomingdale's. Now she's a retail consultant with the firm Kurt Salmon. She says retailers have had to learn how to make a profit with discounts.
If there's an area of the store where there isn't a deal, the consumer's not going to shop that area.
So to offer those bargains without taking a loss, retailers are relying more on their private labels. And they're making bigger bets.
They say, we think it's going to be all about the cashmere scarves. You know what? Let's take a stand. And in the past, we only bought 50,000 cashmere scarves. But I bet if we go to the supplier and we tell them that this year we'll buy 75,000, that they can give us a better price.
And if the buyers bet wrong, that better price is yours. And all those promotions, they do more than goose sales. They give retailers valuable data on what's selling and for how much. Ever wonder why Macy's has so many one-day sales?
We had one last week, got one this week, and we also have another one going into next week as well, too.
Mark Santiago manages 10 Macy's in Southern California. And all those in-store specials, they're strategic. It was no accident Justin Bieber was tapped to promote his fragrance Someday for one of the biggest discount days of the year.
Yo, I'm going to Macy's Black Friday sale.
It was a very fun commercial, helped drive a lot of traffic into our stores.
At midnight, when the non-Bieber crowd may have been asleep. And a lot of those fans left with more than just the limited edition Someday gift set. Behind the scenes, vast data tracking systems help stores keep tabs on millions of pieces of merchandise, so prices can be tweaked in an instant. Diana McHenry is with the software company SAS.
These tools really give you rocket science without having to be a rocket scientist.
For instance, when a collection is picked over and just a couple odd-sized pieces are left, store managers can adjust the price to clear out the leftovers.
When you're dealing with so many stores and so many items and so much inventory, finding out what's where for a merchant is very hard to do.
And all of this is designed so that when you pick up that perfect blue cashmere scarf for 75% off, you feel like you've pulled off a steal. But actually, that's been the plan all along. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
I don't know if you can hear it, but we got the music back here at the Citadel. The markets ended the week with a split decision, but retailers, oh, they're doing all right. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. Let's take a step back from the sheer holidayness of retail right now and talk about shopping for things a little bit more, I don't know, workaday, a pair of jeans, just for instance. There are a whole lot of options out there. Me, I like Levi's 501s, but it gets fancier, a lot fancier. Joe's Jeans fits into a category you could call high-end denim, $150 plus or minus and up in your typical department store. Men's and women's jeans, by the way, at that price, I should say. Mark Crossman is the CEO of Joe's Jeans. Mark, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, first of all, you're wearing your own company's jeans?
Just of checking. Course, I'm wearing my own jeans.
Did you paid $150 for a pair of jeans?
Yeah, actually, you know what? I bought these last night at our own store, and I paid $174 for them.
All right, so let me take that price point and look around here. And this is obviously an outlet mall where bargains are the name of the game. But consumers everywhere want better prices today. How do you position yourself to make that work?
You know, we have to do the same thing. You know, whether it's a Guess or Tommy Hilfiger or Macy's, if they're offering discounts, we have to be competitive. And, you know, we too offer discounts.
Would you go to the 70% thing like a lot of people here do?
You know, we do what a lot of them do. If you look over at the Guess store, it's 50% off, but it says select styles. So we do the same thing. You put the banner in the window, it says 70 off, and it's select styles.
Yeah, you couldn't hear Jennifer's piece because you don't have the headphones on. But that's what she was all about.
Oh,
she was
really?
Like, that's the secret price, man. That's the thing nobody knows about.
And it's always at the back of the store, so we get you in, and we try and get you at the front of the store where the discounts aren't quite as heavy, and some people make it past our sales force to the back of the store.
Tough couple of quarters for you guys. How's the economy? If it doesn't get better soon, how are you going to be doing?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because I was pulling our numbers from Black Friday and then so far through December, and we actually comped up. Our full price stores comped up 60%, believe it or not.
What does that mean, comped up?
We did 60% more business this year than we did last year.
Wow.
At our full price, and our off price was, you know, in the outlet malls that we're in, we were up 33%.
So what does that tell you? Top end of the market's doing better.
You know, it's funny. I think the top end of the market is coming back. It's hard to say, because there's not a huge crossover between the outlet shopper and the full price shopper. So you really have to tailor your offerings to each of those customers. But not a huge overlap.
What about online? You guys doing all right online?
Yeah, online is doing very well for us.
I asked around the office whether people would buy jeans online, and you will not be surprised to know that the men said sure, the women said forget about it.
That's usually the way it is. And men, once they find a jean, they'll just keep going back and back and back to that jean. Yeah. So, it's different different shopper for sure.
You guys went into Europe last year. How's that going for you with the mess over there?
You know, Europe's a little bit difficult. Everybody still wants to buy product. It's just getting paid for that product is difficult.
So that is a little bit difficult,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so especially in Italy. I mean, Italy, you can sell product all day long, but in terms of getting paid for it, it's very difficult.
Have you come to the point yet where you'll say, all right, we're not going to fill this invoice because we're just not getting the money for it?
You know, we're doing it a little differently. We're changing our strategy, and instead of not selling, what we're doing is finding distributors, middlemen, and having them buy the product and let them deal with actually collecting.
The headache and the hassle, if you
exactly.
will.
Exactly, yeah.
Mark Crossman, the CEO of Joe's Jeans, here at the Citadel with us live. Mark, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Take it easy. Consumed as we may be right now with buying holiday gifts, there was some other stuff going on this week, which we'll talk about in the next 4 minutes of live radio with Lee Gallagher from Fortune Magazine, also Lizzie O'Leary from Bloomberg News, and a little segment we like to call our weekly wrap of Wall Street and beyond. They are in the cozy confines of our New York studios. Hey, guys.
Hi. Hi, Kai.
All right. I can tell you I am not done with my holiday shopping. I got it all wrapped up this morning while I was waiting for the show.
Oh, God.
You guys?
Not even close.
No, but now I know how to go into a store. Go right to the back.
Go right to the back, right? So you learn things on Marketplace. That's right. Lizzie, let's start with you. You're in New York, but you're a creature of Washington. What are they doing down there? We're not having a shutdown, right? Let's just get that out of the way.
No, we're not having a shutdown. And, you know, the humor of this one was, I think everybody has been so inured by the four previous dances of this that we've done this year that everyone was like, yeah, whatever. We know you're not going to shut down. Just announce the deal and let's get it over with. So that part is done. We still don't know what's up with the payroll tax cut extension, and the Democrats have caved on a millionaire surtax to pay for that, but no one has quite figured out exactly how to pay.
Yeah. Lee, can we celebrate the compromise, as it were?
You know, I'll go out on a limb and say I think there's a wide swath of people that didn't even know that we were in the middle of a showdown. Yeah. I mean, you know, the CNN breaking news emails came in last night, and I think a lot of people were like, wait, another one? And I think part of that is because, as Lizzie said, there's a sort of Groundhog Day aspect to this now. It's like, oh, we're a little desensitized. It doesn't really, we don't react. Much in the same way, we don't really react anymore, or it doesn't really make the headlines when the market swings, you know, triple digits one way or the other.
Right,
so we're kind of building up this resistance, I guess.
Well, so Lizzie, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, I mean, who knows? So there may or may not be a payroll tax deal by Monday, but, you know, they'll figure it out. Do the markets care anymore, Lizzie, do you think?
Not about this, no. I mean, I think, look, you see, the markets want to know what's up in Europe beyond what has become some rather dramatic and interesting rhetoric between France and England taking shots at one another. But in terms of Washington, no, though there are down the road interesting questions when we go back to that failed super committee and figure out what we're going to do about all that. That's still out there.
Well, you mentioned Europe, and that's where I wanted to go next, because last week at this time, we were all Europe all the time and a little bit on Monday, and then everybody just kind of went, oh, yeah, it's fixed. Lee, do you believe it's fixed?
No, it's not fixed. I mean, and I think I just think we're settling into a very long term, pattern here. I think actually at this point, the optimist view is that Europe can tip into a recession without dragging us into it. So I think that's kind of where we are.
Do you really believe that?
I don't know if I believe that, but I think there is a school of thought out there that that's the best case scenario, that we sort of escape, moderately and And but I think the situation in Europe is going to be here for a long time, and it's going to get worse. And I think that investors do realize that.
Lizzie, weigh in here. Do we escape if Europe not collapses, but even goes down slowly?
No, but I do think one of the things that Lee is hitting on is you are hearing more and more investors saying, you know, moving defensively, acting defensively against this, even big ones who are saying, no, we are, you know, closing transactions as quickly as possible. We are keeping things in short-term securities. There's just a real fear, and I don't want to touch that mess. I don't want that nasty infection coming close to me. And maybe the fact that this has dragged on for so long has given people a little bit of an opportunity to play that.
Yeah, maybe. All right, well, so let's wrap it up with a thing I do every now and then on this part of the show, and that is just a gut check of how you're feeling sort of macroeconomically zeitgeisty. And Lee, you go first. How you feeling?
On a global level, not so great, but, you know, there is some domestic economic data that's starting to look good. You know, but I think we're in for a long, slow haul, and that's been my take for a long time. So it's not that exciting of a gut check, but that's
you know, it is what your gut is your gut, right? All right, Lizzie, what do you say?
True. My gut is focused on this gap. It's this labor market gap between hiring that we are actually starting to see and then all of these people who gave up or took a low-paying, not-so-hot job and who've been on unemployment for a long time. I don't know how they get back into the workforce. And without them, I don't know what happens to demand.
Right. Lizzie O'Leary from Bloomberg News. Lee Gallagher from Fortune Magazine. Have yourselves a nice weekend, guys.
Thanks, Kai.
See ya. Coming up, retail in the digital age.
The currency just passes through the internet and you don't have to do anything.
No wallet required. But first, let's do the numbers. First up, some retail numbers. Holiday sales are expected to reach an all-time high of $469 billion in the fourth year of a bad economy. Go figure that one out. That's according to the National Retail Federation. And a big chunk of those purchases are going to be made online. Online sales already have hit $25 billion, up 15% over last year. Mobile sales, still pretty small, expected to be about 2% of all e-commerce sales. You know the whole smartphone thing. We'll talk more about that later. For the week, the Dow pushed 2.7% lower than Nasdaq, down 3.5%. The S&P 500 lost 2.9%. And you're listening to Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
From the Marketplace Datebook, here's a look at events coming up Monday. The National Association of Home Builders releases its monthly report on builder confidence in the single-family housing market. Shipping stuff overseas? Pack it up. According to the U.S. Postal Service, you've got until Monday to send gifts to most international destinations in time for Christmas. And it's been 14 years already since the Titanic sank. On screen, that is. The film was released on December 19th, 1997. I'm Michelle Phillippe.
This is Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media. I'm Kai Rizdahl, and we are live today at the Citadel Shopping Outlets in Commerce, California, because in a lot of ways, as goes our shopping, so goes the American economy. And our shopping now, increasingly, is going high-tech, with online discounts and daily deals in your emails and technology that lets you buy stuff from pretty much anywhere and in a whole lot of different ways. And that's where my colleague Tess Vigeland comes in. She hosts our personal finance show, Marketplace Money, and she's here at the Citadel with me. Hey, Tess.
Kai, you have been busy, my man. Look at all those bags from the Calvin Klein underwear outlet. Yeah. Wow.
I can't even believe you did that. No, Levi's, not 501s. It's 505s, I think. No button flies.
Okay.
But anyway, you're not doing anything?
I'm not. I like outlets and everything, but this place isn't quite high-tech enough for me.
Cut it out. Come on, they take credit cards. What more do you need?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm so high-tech, I don't even need to reach for my wallet, Kai.
You know what you're doing? I know what you're doing, right? It's you have an iPhone.
I do. And, you know, there are several products out there that actually allow you to use your phone to shop and not carry a dime with you. So, Kai, earlier this week, I took one out for a road test.
All right.
So we're downtown Los Angeles here at 6th and Spring.
walking into Sustain Juicery, and I feel very strange not having any money on me. I don't even have a wallet.
Now, I've never been to this juice bar, but I decided to pay a visit because the store name appeared on an app I was using on my phone called Cardcase. It figures out where I am using GPS, then shows me a list of retailers that will let me buy something using the app.
Hello.
Hi.
So, what do you recommend?
The Green Monkey is great for in the morning. It's got lots of fruits, and then the spirulina and kale add it to it.
Let's try that, the Green Monkey.
Green Monkey? Okay.
I wanted to see what it was like to make a purchase without handing over any form of payment, not cash, not a credit card. And so, while the, what do I call her, a juice barista made my Green Monkey, she typed up my order on an iPad.
Okay, now what do I owe you?
It comes out to $7.50.
And my name is Tess Vigeland. Am I there on your system?
It is, right there, first visit.
She had a picture of me on the iPad from the moment I walked in. Cardcase told her I was there. The app is connected to my credit card. All she does is tap on my photo, and my card gets charged $7.50 for the smoothie. Creeped out yet?
It is kind of creepy. I mean, it feels almost like shoplifting.
That's Slate's technology writer Farhad Manju.
You know, you're used to even the most kind of painless way we're used to paying for stuff is by handing over a credit card.
Right. I mean, for time immemorial, even the cavemen, I'm sure, handed each other something.
Yeah, and now the currency just passes through the internet and you don't have to do anything.
Now, there are plenty of other new technologies being developed to separate people from physical payments. Google Wallet lets you just wave your phone in front of a register to pay, but it's only available on Google phones. Dwolla is the name of another app. Download it, put money onto it, and it's like your own personal Western Union without the fees. Here's Manju again.
You know, you can see this being useful in a number of instances. You know, you're buying something from someone who's having a yard sale, or you're just paying for half of dinner or something like that. It comes up often where we need cash to give a friend money, and here you can just do it on your phone.
I wanted to test Dwolla out, but just like Cardcase, not many people use it. And that's the downside of these technologies. Until more people adopt them, they're kind of useless. Which is too bad, because while we may not all be using so-called cashless apps yet, plenty of us walk around cashless.
Buying stuff, paying for stuff, or trading money with friends is still a little bit frustrating. The goal, I think, with all of these companies is to move society toward this cashless and really frictionless way of spending money, that where you don't think about the money that's being passed. It just sort of happens.
And of course, Kai, that really gets to the heart of these technologies, which is they just make it even easier to separate us from our money.
I love that phrase, frictionless, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah,
crazy.
Exactly.
Tess Vigeland, the host of our personal financial marketplace Money. More, by the way, of that interview with Farhad Manju from Slate on her show this weekend. Marketplace Money again. Tess, thanks a lot.
Happy holidays.
All right, you too. So if everything's on sale in the brick-and-mortar world and more people are buying online or using apps to buy stuff without cash, what does that mean for the business of the retail business? Malls, like the one we're in. Who better to answer that question than the guy who owns the mall we're in and some others all over the country? Stephen Craig runs Craig Realty, and I would say welcome to the show, but technically we're in your house, so thanks for having us.
Thank you. We enjoy it.
So how is the business of the retail business?
Well, ours is outstanding. You know, we've had a tremendous holiday. You mentioned earlier, I heard the statistics you rattled of a record year. But
yeah.
That really relates to like a 3-4% increase over last year's number. Our November sales were up 46% as compared to last year. So, big difference.
But the economy is still meh at best.
Exactly.
So explain how you're doing so well.
Well, you know, I think consumers haven't lost the desire to gift or to give people presents.
Yeah.
What they've lost is some of the purchasing power to buy those gifts. So what they're doing is they're looking at other alternatives. Everybody wants the brands. They love the brands, the Coaches, the Polos, and the Guesses.
Right.
If they can buy them at a better price somewhere, that's what they're doing.
So whether discounts are 70% or 50% in the stores here at the Citadel, so long as stores are paying their rent, you're fine with that, right?
We're very happy about
that. Not to be cold-hearted about it, but you're okay with that. So here's the thing. Those discounts generate foot traffic, which generates business for your customers, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And it obviously it portends well for the other stores in the center. So if we're bringing in a great name like Coach, who will do
right.
some ungodly number this year, the store next door is going to do even better.
Right. So I'm sure in a secret spreadsheet you have someplace back at corporate headquarters, you've got the next 3 to 5 years of this economy played out. Share it with us. Give us the secret.
You know, unfortunately, I think we're going to see a little bit more of the same. The private sector is what that really dropped off in terms of job losses. Now we're starting to see the public sector cutting back to balance those budgets. That's going to hold unemployment at a relatively high level. It'll come down. It's probably going to come down slowly, though. So I think you're going to continue to see that consumer really trying to stretch the dollars they have.
Yeah. One more question quickly. When residential real estate went kerflooey, everybody said commercial is next, and that never really happened. Do you believe commercial real estate is going to stick and you're going to be all right?
I think certain sectors are in tough shape. There's no question about it. I think the government helped it along, kind of kicked the can. You've probably heard that expression.
Yeah.
They kept the
just
rates down, which is what enabled people to stay current with their mortgages.
Right.
If rates start to move up, look for some big problems.
Stephen Craig from Craig Realty, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having
us. Appreciate you coming out.
Bye-bye.
Marketplace is produced in association with the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.
This final note today, wrapping up our trip to the dark side of retail. Clearly, we have learned sale is the name of the game this year in stores, online. But how long can the ridiculous discounts possibly last?
Frankly, they could probably do this for quite a while.
David Weiss is an economist at Brown University.
They're still making money on most of these things. Now, after Christmas, then they'll start dumping stuff, and there you get some people actually losing money. But it's better to lose a little than a lot.
The moral of the story, then, is grab the deals while you can, which is kind of how retail has always worked, isn't it? All right, that's it. We got to go. That's Marketplace from APM American Public Media. Thanks today to all our guests and the folks here at the Citadel. The program today was produced by Millie Jefferson. She had help from Justin Ho. Chris Clark and Stephen Colon engineered for us. Our theme music was composed by BJ Lederman. Marketplace's acting producer is Megan Larson. The executive producer of the broadcast is Deborah Clark. JJ Yor is the vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. We'll be back in the studio on Monday. Have yourselves a great weekend. This is APM. That's American Public Media.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.